I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
So, guys, I don't know about you, but for me, I need a really strong coffee to wake me up in the morning and start my day. Enter Strong Coffee Company. Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code. Go to strongcoffeecompany.com and enter the code CODE80X in the basket. That is CODE80X and enjoy 20% off your purchase. Hey guys, welcome back to IPV and Me. I'm so excited for this episode. I have finally decided to do a little chit-chatty episode because, for one special reason, this past week it has been 10 whole years since I left my abusive relationship, and I am so excited to mark that 10-year mark. It might sound maybe a little bit of a depressing anniversary, but for me it's like my freedom anniversary. To be honest, when you leave your abusive relationship, it's kind of hard for people to understand how you don't feel that instant sense of freedom. But, you know, you're just at the beginning of this whole other chapter to your trauma and trying to process what you've been through and the exhaustion of that. So I look back on it as the first step on the road to my freedom and recovery. And I'm really excited to honor that today. So before we get into it, I wanted to mention something really exciting. I finally have merch for the podcast. Oh my God, I'm so excited about it. This is something I've wanted to do for the past couple of years. And I felt like finally I'm at a point where I can do that. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to link it in the episode bio. And in the show bio also, I've been posting about it on my socials as well. You'll see that on my Instagram at mangogs, at IPV and me also on Instagram. But I don't really use that Instagram page, as I mentioned before. I started with the intention of using it, but it's really hard to juggle two Instagram pages at the same time. And I don't want to close it because there's people that I interact with on there. So I don't want to fully close it, but I also mainly post about the podcast on my main page. So anyway, I just have two pieces of merch for now. One is a coffee mug that has the podcast logo on it, which includes my face, as you know, which is so weird to have my face on a mug. Like, I can't even tell you. It's so funny. I've got a sample of the mug. I've not drank my coffee out of it yet. But maybe I will. It just seems a bit weird for now. Right now it's just sitting on my shelf proudly. It's really funny. And I also have a collection of 5 different buttons that you can pin onto your jacket, your bag, whatever. They're just like a mix of different things. Again, you'll see them at the link. If you guys could purchase something, I'd really appreciate it. Everything earned from that goes back into the podcast. I'm really trying to put my all into this, and slowly things are coming to fruition that I have wanted to do for a while. You'll notice I now have some ads in the show, and just to be, you know, completely honest, like, I will get get something out of that. So if you do use the codes, just know that you are benefiting me and I will be getting paid from that, but know that it all goes back into the podcast. And I really appreciate any interactions with it, any promo codes you guys use, anyone that's purchases the merch. Like, I really, 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 really appreciate it. If you do purchase it, please post about it, tell your friends. I'm really trying to get the show out there as much as possible. As you know, it's really important to me to raise awareness for intimate partner violence, and it's something that's really, really, really important to me. So thank you for that as always. October is also Domestic Abuse Awareness Month. I know this is coming out right at the end of October. I've been posting on my socials about it, but some tips for you if you want to raise awareness. Of course, you don't just have to raise awareness in October. It's just got that extra little boost this month. But I would say to educate yourself as much as possible, first of all, and then pass that education on to others about domestic violence, support local organizations through, it could be donations, volunteering, participate in public events that are supporting domestic abuse, use your social media hashtags like hashtag everyone knows someone, and speak out to your community. Other activities you could do, there's a Wear Purple Day, which there's one specific day for it in October that has happened already, but it's again something that you can do, whether it's like in your work environment or anything like that. Purple has always been known as the color for domestic abuse. Talk to young people in particular about intimate partner violence. Like, that's something that people don't really talk about enough. People assume it's like, you know, older couples, married couples, whatever, but like teens, there is a really big rise in domestic abuse, and in particular like digital dating violence is a huge problem. Obviously social media can have a lot of things that people, you know, monitor your teens, monitor your kids, and just advocating for better policies to protect survivors. I always post about any new laws or anything like that that people are trying to get passed on my social media. So if you check out my stories, I'll usually have something like that. I also keep everything in my highlights so you can go back and look over anything like that. But just anything that you can do to raise awareness, that's what it's all about, spreading the word. And like I always say, you never know who needs to hear what you're saying, and sometimes it can just click with a person. Oh my goodness, that sounds like me. Maybe my relationship is actually not just unique to us. Maybe I am actually being abused, and all of that is really, really important. Guys, something else totally different that is really, really exciting, and I can finally talk about, and I've been keeping this secret since June, and it's been the hardest secret I've ever had to keep, but my little sister Tamara Goggin, you may know her, she has appeared on the show before, she is about to be on this season of Love Island Australia. Can you believe that? Can you freaking believe that? I am so excited I can finally talk about it. When I tell you, when I got the go ahead that I can mention it, I have been telling literally everybody. Like, I could stop strangers on the street and tell them. That's how excited I am about it. So as I'm recording this, it is October 27th. The first episode came out last night, but that's Australian time. So I'm on Eastern Standard Time, so I'm in New York. So the episode right now, you can watch. I saw Dailymotion have the episodes up. They're usually really good for any like reality TV stuff in other countries as well, because I watch a lot of other Australian reality shows, UK reality shows, and they almost always have the episodes up there. And also, if you have a VPN, you can go to Nine Now in Australia, and that's the official site that will have the episodes up. So if you can watch it there. Also, if you're in the US, Hulu is going to have the episodes from the 29th of October, which is in 2 days as I record this. So normally it would be once the show is over, but this year they're only going to be 2 days behind, which is really exciting. So you'll be able to follow along on there. It's on four nights a week, Monday to Thursday. And again, that's Australian Monday to Thursday. Again, I kind of like that because, you know, it's kind of overwhelming when you have to watch reality shows and they're on every single night, like, because, you know, you're trying to struggle to watch your other shows as well. And like, I think it's great. But anyways, she is going to be on, I think Thursday is her first episode. She comes in as a bombshell, which I'm even more excited about. And yes, there's a little teeny tiny little preview of her on the first episode that dropped today. It's kind of like a little clip of like what's to come in the season, and her little face pops up. It's really funny. It's kind of a reaction face, and I already have made a meme from it, which you'll find on my Instagram. I'm basically, you're not gonna hear the end of Love Island Australia from me for the next month or so. I'm not gonna stop talking about this because I think it's absolutely batshit crazy that my little sister is on it. You can also follow her on social media. She is at Tamara Goggin. I'm going to link all of this stuff also in the bio for the episode. And if you go watch, I'd really appreciate it. Support her. I'm really super excited about it. And I just want to get as many people watching as possible. I know on this side of the world, the Australian Love Island wouldn't be as popular as the UK one, and then the US one, I feel like this year just got super, super popular. Everyone seemed to be watching it. So I really just want this to be everywhere, basically. I've also heard a lot of people that I've spoken to that do watch Love Island Australia, because I've never watched the Australian version of it, but I've watched every season up until the last couple of seasons of the UK one. I've never watched the US one. But a lot of people say that the Australian one is the best one to watch, which is really interesting. So I might actually have to go back and watch previous seasons. And I know Ariana Maddox, who, you know her from Vanderpump Rules, and she presents the US Love Island, says that the Australian one is actually her favorite too. So that's really exciting. So yeah, so I've been keeping this secret for so long, guys. Oh my God, it's been really, really hard. But like I say, if you can watch, follow her in social media. It's all really, really, really exciting. And I'll try to give you some insider scoop on here as well, if I can, if I'm allowed. So yeah, so exciting. So anyways, getting back to the topic in hand. Like I said, I just wanted to do a little chit-chat episode. I've never done one of those before. So I thought this would have been the perfect time to do that. I've kind of been reflecting a lot recently on how much time has passed, you know, in that 10 years, how much has happened, how different my life is now. I'm also turning 40 on November 7th, another less than 2 weeks now, which is also a really significant thing for me. I'm so fine with like age and getting older. It does not bother me at all. I always say it's such a privilege to get older. And I think about my dad, who was 37 when he passed away. Every time I think of that, I'm like, that is so crazy to me. Because when you're a kid, like I was 11 at the time, you just think that your parents are so old. I'm like, oh my God, he was a child. Like 37 is so young to me now. And now I'm 3 years older than he was when he passed. So for me, it's always been such a privilege to be able to get older. So many people don't even get to be 37. Some people pass away a few days old when they're a kid, teenager, in their 20s. Like, you just don't know what's around the corner. And I think instead of shying away from your age, particularly as women, we've been taught to like, oh, never ask a lady her age. I hate that. I hate when people say that. Because like, when you think about it, like, it's not your fault when you were born. It's not a bad thing. You're just like, oh, I've been on the earth for this amount of years. Like, what? I just don't understand it. And like, people tell me I look like I'm in my 20s. I get that all the time. I think it's crazy because when I look back at pictures of me from my 20s, I'm like, yeah, I don't look like that anymore. But then I feel like people around my age don't like just think that I look that age. But when you're younger, I think you have such an idea of your head of what 40 looks like that you're not expecting it to look like I do, I guess, because I'm kind of like, I suppose I'm kind of youthful still anyway, really. I always say, people ask me like, okay, what's your secret? Like, how do you look so young and you're 40? And I'm like, well, I'm single, been single for the last 10 years. I have no kids and wear SPF every day and drink lots of water. And that's literally my secret. I have no stress anymore. I did all my stressing when I was in my 20s. And, you know, I've not, well, you know, things stress you out every now and again. But like, I've really just learned how to just turn it off. So, but yeah, I really don't like, if I look at pictures, like I said, in my 20s, I really don't look like that anymore. Even in my 30s, like my early 30s, this time 10 years ago, I look so different. But also that was probably like all the stress and the trauma that I was going through. I just look back and I'm like, my face is like sunken. I look so skinny. Like, it's so freaking weird. I think the most significant thing that I've noticed is like my face is definitely much fuller than it was. But I don't really have any like major significant changes. Like, I've definitely had a lot of gray hairs in the last few years, but that doesn't bother me at all. I dye my hair anyway, so it's fine. And I also think gray hair is really cool, so I would kind of like to have that when I'm older. But one thing I noticed definitely is my hands. Like, this, I feel like the skin on my hands is definitely like, it's starting to look, they do say that your hands are what you kind of notice in people aging. But I'm also, I've started to get tattoos on my hands now. So I'm like, I'm just covering it. But I will say, for me, as much as I say I wear SPF all the time and I cover my face and my neck in it, people forget about your neck, always cover your neck too. Wear it on your hands too. And I always forget to put it on my hands. And I think that's a major part of it too. So that's my advice to you. But yeah, I don't know. I guess, like I said, the age thing doesn't bother me at all. And, you know, when I left my abusive relationship, I turned 30 just over a week later. And that always felt kind of significant to me. I think going from your 20s to your 30s is a massive change. 30s to 40s, I don't think so as much. But definitely 20s, there's like a shift and you kind of just, I don't know, it just feels like a significant milestone. You kind of like leave a lot behind in your 20s, I think. But I had a great time. I absolutely had a fantastic decade, and I'm really grateful for all the things that happened. I remember having the most wonderful 30th birthday weekend. Now, I was exhausted, I was stressed, I was traumatized. It was really not, like, I was living in this shitty apartment. It was really not great. But I remember, and I know I've probably talked about it before on here, but the day of my 30th birthday, I remember going out for, I had asked a couple of friends that I worked with to go for dinner after work with me. And we met at this Mexican restaurant. I remember it so well. And I remember sitting down and like, I had also asked, so I had met this girl who she was, so a girl that I had gone to school with and worked with was visiting New York, and I met up with her for a drink, and she had her friend with her who had just moved to New York from Australia, because this friend that I grew up with, she had moved to Australia. So that's how they knew each other. So went for drinks, then me and this girl just hit it off really well. So I had asked her to go to my birthday and didn't think like she would show up. She showed up with a friend of hers, and then people I worked with showed up. And I remember just sitting down and being like, okay, I did not think all of these people were going to be here. And we had this lovely dinner, and then a lot of my coworkers had to leave because after the dinner, because they were working the next day. And then this girl and her friend and one of my coworkers, we were like, okay, let's go out and just have a great night. And they took me like to all these bars, and we just had so much fun. Like, I barely knew this girl, and we just had so much fun. I remember getting an Uber, and we were all like squashed into the back seat, and the driver let us put on music, and he was so fun. And we were stuck in traffic for so long. and we were just like dancing and having a great time in this car, dancing, I mean like sitting down dancing, you know, we weren't standing, I promise. And going to this bar downtown, and I remember I actually literally have a picture of the exact moment too. But I remember sitting on this bar stool. They put me sitting on this stool in this packed bar, and everyone was just standing around me for some reason. And then there was a band that was playing, and they got them to sing me happy birthday, and the whole bar was singing me happy birthday. And there's this picture that my friend took, and I just have the biggest smile on my face. I can see in my eyes the kind of trauma, like I can still see it, but like it's the first kind of glimpse of happiness that I had had. And I'll just never forget that moment. When people ask me what's the happiest moment of your life, I significantly point to that moment because I just remember it so well. Like it stands out to me so much. And I just remember looking around thinking, I think I'm going to be okay, actually, you know? And it was such a nice feeling. And then the following night, I remember my best friend, she came and picked me up. She got me a gorgeous bunch of flowers. I had never had anybody buy me flowers. It was the first time I ever got flowers on my 30th birthday. And she gave me a card, and she had tickets to a Broadway show. And she drove us into the city. We had a gorgeous, gorgeous dinner first. Still probably the best dinner I've ever had in my life. Honestly, it was just so good. And I went back to that restaurant a few months later, and it wasn't as good. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was just on a high or something. But I just remember it was really good. And we went to the show. It was great. And I think we went out for drinks after, but it was just such a lovely time. And I just remember like that whole weekend being so grateful for everybody that I had in my life. And when I tell you, it's sometimes it's the people in your life that you don't expect to be the ones to kind of be there for you. But I always think about that girl. We kind of lost touch over the years, but I always think about her and think that, you know, she was kind of put there in my life for a reason. And just like the amount of people that I met that night for the first time, and they just like wanted me to have a good birthday. And you know, throughout my life I've kind of noticed that like sometimes it's the people that, you know, it could be like a coworker or something, somebody you're not particularly close with, but like they remember something about you, or they come through for you in like such a significant way and you're really not expecting it. And it's just little things like that that I'm always super, super, super grateful for. But as I was saying, just because the relationship ends, the abuse ends, it doesn't mean the trauma ends. And that's a really important thing to remember. If it's something you're going through, people might tell you, oh, you should be happy now. Like, what's wrong with you? Are you still like depressed and whatever? Don't think that there's something wrong with you because of it. You've just been through major trauma, and in a lot of ways you're kind of just like passing through the middle of that trauma. There's still a long ways to go. I had a lot of struggles ahead between dealing with the years of abuse I just experienced and then trying to process all of that, plus not being anywhere near financially stable. In fact, I was ridiculously broke, and then suddenly finding myself alone in New York City, one of the most expensive cities in the world, and kind of just having to like claw my independence back. I had to rely on a lot of people. I was so determined. I think determination honestly is what got me through, because I was like, I am not going back. I'm staying in the city. I love it here. I have friends now. I really like my job. And a part of me was also kind of like a bit of a fuck you to my abuser, because he had told me for so many years, like, you'll never be anything without me. You wouldn't be able to do anything without me. You wouldn't be able to live in New York without me. You wouldn't have a visa if it wasn't for me. It's all like, you know, I wouldn't be able to do anything without him, type of thing. And you know that you kind of start to believe that a little bit. But I just was so determined, and like as broke as I was, and I was really fucking broke, I just got through it. And I honestly, the way I could make like $20 stretch for 2 weeks, because I used to get paid bi-weekly. When I think about it, and like the little amount that I used to get paid in that job too, like, oh my God, it was so bad. Eventually I got promoted and I started making much more money, but like it was a good few years of like real struggle. Like once my rent was paid, I didn't care about the rest. Like I will live on plain pasta if I have to. And a lot of days I did. I was literally like making the same thing, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and like just making it stretch. But I got through it. I got through it. And, you know, I think back on it and I think of all the anxiety and I feel like really sad for myself. But I wish I could have been like, okay, look, this is going to be worth it. Like, look at you now, this is going to be worth it. Like, oh my God, when I think about it, like, it's so crazy to me that I was going through that. And like, now, I don't know if I could go through that again, to be honest with you. I don't think that I could do that at my age now. I probably would have been like, okay, fuck it, I'm going back to Ireland, you know, move back in with my mom for a while and all that. And I would have been really sad and probably even more depressed. But like, Jesus, I don't know how I did it. Probably like the trauma blocked out a lot of stuff for me too, I don't know. But yeah, so there was that whole thing of being broke. Then I also had to go to the police station over and over almost every single night for a good few weeks trying to get a protection order served. And oh my God, what a struggle. When I tell you, the cops I encountered at the time, like apart from two of them, were just like useless. They were useless. I remember the first police station I went to. So I went, the first police station I went to was in a different district to the one that I ended up going to. And that's because my abuser lived in that area. So I had to go to that police station for him to be served. And I remember calling them every day, handed in the protection order, just calling them every day. And the guy at the desk seemed so unbothered. Called them every single day before I would go into my job. I called them, oh, did you serve yet? Did you serve yet? Did they serve yet? Little did I know at the time, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to stay at the police station. Someone is supposed to go out and serve it. And you basically wait there until it's served and you come back and they let you know. And it's kind of a safety thing because obviously the order hasn't been served yet. So if something does happen, then, you know, basically like your ass isn't covered. And this guy propped it up on the desk on a pile of other paperwork. And eventually I got so tired of it. And I had found out at this point that my abuser had moved to a different district. So I would have had to bring it to a different police station in that area anyway. So I went back to tell them that, and the guy, first of all, didn't respond to me the whole time. I don't think he said one single word to me the whole time. And he picked up the protection order from the same pile of paper it had been when I had dropped it off days earlier. I remember being so fucking pissed, like I could have been dead in that time for all you know, you know. So ended up going to the next police station, went there days and days at a time, nothing happening. And then one day eventually two cops went out to try and serve the papers to him, and they were the only two that actually did anything and did the thing the way it was supposed to be done. Like, oh my God. Then I ended up going to court twice. My ex was there the second time and we were sitting in the waiting room the whole entire. When I tell you, family court is fucking horrendous. It's horrendous. It's the worst place on earth. And I don't know how people do it with kids. It's awful. And you're sitting in a waiting room with your abuser, and then you're having to walk into a courtroom with them also. And the judge at the time, I've spoken about this in detail already, so I won't go through it, but like, she let him speak the whole way through, didn't let me speak once, cut me off every single time. She was really horrible to me, and she was so nice to him. And I swear to God, I wish that lady the worst life, because if she was doing it to me, I'm sure there's plenty of other women that she was doing it to also. And I'm sorry, like, but what the fuck. Then I had to get help with my visa, so I was constantly going, meeting my lawyer, like it could be several times a week sometimes. So it was like I was constantly just going all the time, trying to find somewhere new to live. I'm still in the same apartment. I found the most, like, it couldn't have been a better, like, timing. And I've talked about it before, but I just found it was like a really cozy apartment. I had an Irish roommate who was very sweet. It just felt very homely and I needed that so much. And I felt safe there, which is even more important. And I'm still here now because I still feel that like sense of homeness here, and I always just feel so grateful for that. Like I said, I got a promotion at my job, and again, I kept getting like pay rises because I was really good at my job, and like so many good things started happening, but it took a long time. And in between all of the good things, there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of sleepless nights, and I had night terrors a few times. It was like, it was awful, but you know, you get there eventually. It takes a while, but you will get there. Another thing that I wouldn't even say navigating, but it's just one of those things that comes up, and again, it kind of depends on the kind of person you are and all of that. But for me, like, I would think about, okay, like dating again and whatever, and this was kind of before I came to the realization that like I actually just like being single. But eventually, it was a couple months later maybe, I had a date with a guy who I knew. I worked with him, and he just kind of texted me out of the blue and asked me out, and I kind of thought it was just like a hangout or something, and then I was like, oh okay, no, he actually is into me. And I think, you know, we both knew it was just kind of a bit of fun, but like that's all I kind of needed at the time, and I think it kind of like moved me forward from my trauma a little bit. It kind of sparked something in me, and I suddenly found myself single, living in New York. Dating apps are a thing now. Dating apps are not a thing when I was single at all. So I was like, let me check this out. And I just like went crazy on Tinder. I think I used Tinder. This is Tinder before it was like, it was still gross, but it's like extreme gross now. Tinder, Hinge, and oh, what was the other one? Something with fish, something fish. You guys know what it is probably. They were the ones that I was using, and then and Bumble also, I'm guessing. But I just kind of wanted to meet people and like go on some interesting dates, so just kind of be a bit carefree for a while. And I did that for about a year and a half. When I tell you, I just had an absolute ball. I was going on like 3-4 dates a week sometimes, like just constantly had something going on, just keeping myself distracted and just having fun. I met so many interesting people. I wasn't looking for anything, so I kind of never took it seriously. So I think that's kind of why I would say I had a successful dating app experience. If I was going in there looking for a relationship, absolutely not. It's so trash. But I had a ball. I wasn't looking for anything, never took anything seriously. I was lucky enough to actually meet a lot of decent guys. I think there was just one guy that was just like, God, I'd get me out of here. But the rest, I had a great time. Some of them I'm actually like kind of weirdly still in touch with. One of them I still see to this day. And yeah, it also kind of made me realize I'm just not a relationship person. And it's nothing to do with, I'm sure a little bit of it has to do with being in such a traumatic relationship, but like I truly believe that I was never meant to be coupled up. I'm just built to be single. I love my solo life. I love my independence. And I know that being in a solid, stable relationship does have huge benefits. I know it does. But I truly don't think I'm missing out on anything. I'm so happy to be where I am. Like, life is really good for me, and I don't think that adding a person to that is going to like benefit it in any way. I like that, you know, I can get on the train, and sometimes I'll sit there and I'll be thinking, there's not a single person in the entire world that I know that knows where I am right now. And I love that. Instead of being scared, freaked out, I love that. There's no one texting me, what time are you going home? Blah, 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 on all of this. Like, I just don't, I like coming in my door and there's nobody there. You know, I only ever wanted a simple life, and I felt that even more so when I went through what I did. I like peace. I was with someone for years whose only goal was to disturb my peace, and I'm just enjoying. And I don't mean that, you know, that's not to say that like every single relationship it's just like, oh, some guy is here just like annoying you. That's not what I mean at all. But it's like, for me, peace is like being alone, being by myself. Like, I need that. And unless it's like, I'm always open to the fact that, like, when you meet someone, you have no control over it. Like, it just doesn't, it just hits you, and like, there's nothing you can do about it. But for me, I'm like, if say I do meet somebody, it's gonna be okay, but we can only hang out on my terms. I don't want you texting me all the time. I don't want you in my house all the time. And we can hang out, but if I'm over it, I'm over it, and like, you gotta just like go home or whatever. And I'm never getting married, and I'm never having kids, and we're never living together. So like, there's a lot of conditions, and I can't imagine that I'm ever going to change that. Like, I really, really think that if I did get into a relationship, like, I'm never living with somebody. Like, that's not happening. I'm just not meant to live with anybody at all. I think the only person who I've ever been able to tolerate long term is my sister. And I think she's the same with me also. But I just don't see it for myself. Like, I can't imagine it at all. Like, to me, that's just like a horrible life in my head. And that's just me. And it's, again, like, only a tiny amount of that is to do with being in an abusive relationship. Most of that I kind of knew already. I just hadn't really thought about it in any significant way. Like, I just wanted an easy life. I never wanted a big career. I'm just happy to have a job and be working, make enough money that I can live a relatively comfortable life. I like coming home in the evening and there's peace behind the door and not the chaos that I was used to. Like, I'll never forget the dread of turning the key in the lock in that old apartment I lived in and just thinking, like, what's waiting for me behind the door? Like, now I come home and I know exactly what's there and everything is in its place. Nobody's coming in that door. I like to have days at home where I do nothing but cook and watch TV, browse the internet, read books, doing groceries and laundry, seeing my gorgeous friends, chit-chatting with customers at my simple, easy, breezy, lighthearted job that I have, talking to my sister for hours on FaceTime, the chaos of getting videos of my nephews being the crazy little boys that they are. I love traveling home to Ireland whenever I want, breathing in that gorgeous, gorgeous fresh air that I'm convinced you only get in Ireland. I love sitting at my grandmother's house with the most delicious coffee that only she can make, catching up on all the gossip in the neighborhood from her. I love, as I mentioned already, getting on the train after work, knowing that nobody knows where I am, nobody knows where I'm going, but feeling a freedom in that instead of a fear, being able to take a shower or fall asleep without being disturbed. Like, I truly am so grateful for this simple little life that I have. When I look back now on the abuse I experienced, I really try to forgive myself and to give myself some grace. It's still hard to not feel annoyed at myself. And I really kind of haven't fully forgiven myself, but I've mostly forgiven myself and given myself that grace. It's hard, but I'm aware of the fact that it's not my fault. I know that 100%, but it's still there sometimes when I think about it. And I think that's just something that I carry, but I've learned to carry it, and it's not something that really like bothers me on a regular basis or anything. It's still even sometimes hard not to feel angry at him. There are still things that will hit me out of nowhere, but I do truly feel like I've healed, and doing this podcast has been a huge part of that. The freedom in being open and honest about my story and about hearing all of your stories, and how much me telling my story has been able to help you guys. The community of domestic abuse survivors are the strongest people that I've ever come across, and the people that I speak to online about it and that know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about it, or people who mention to me in my real life that, like, oh my god, I heard this on your episode and it really clicked with me because I thought that was unique to me, and all of those things like that mean so much to me. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just so grateful. Like, I'm so grateful. I'm sitting here. It's a Monday afternoon, my day off. I'm recording this. It's the most beautiful fall weather outside. I can hear the birds outside. There's gorgeous light coming in my apartment. And it's just peaceful here. Like, it's just, I've looked around at the things that I have in my apartment that I've bought for myself, built for myself, and just, I'm like, yeah, like, I really, really like where I am and who I am. And I really think that this podcast has helped in so many ways. Just like talking about things just helps so much. It really, really, really does. And, you know, as I always say, my DMs, my email, everything is open to you guys. If you ever want to reach out, talk about anything, talk about something you've been through, maybe you're going through it now, maybe you've never told anybody about it, you know, I'm here for you. And this is what this podcast is about. And I appreciate every single one of you. So thank you guys for listening to this episode, which is very different to my usual episodes. It has been really nice to have a little talky episode and not just being on here and telling a story. I've really enjoyed it. And again, reach out to me, ipvandmepodcast@gmail.com, at mangogs, or at ipvandmepodcast on Instagram or any other socials. Like I say, they're always open. Safe Horizon, thehotline.org, if you guys need any help. Again, these are all linked in the episode bio as usual. And I mentioned my merch all in the bio, so please check that out. If you do purchase it, please let me know. I'd love to see you guys with my merch. And just thank you. Thank you for listening, for being here, and for all the support. As always, I will see you next time. Take care, guys. So, guys, I don't know about you, but for me, I need a really strong coffee to wake me up in the morning and start my day. Enter Strong Coffee Company. Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code. Go to strongcoffeecompany.com and enter the code CODE80X in the basket. That is CODE80X, and enjoy 20% off your purchase.